Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Ordinarily at 1 o'clock after a Bears game on Monday, we are talking with Big Ann Heron, but Big Ten football is back, and so Ann has got like all these crazy meetings that he's doing. Are we going to talk to him tomorrow? I forgot what we were doing with Anthony.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him tomorrow and probably next Tuesday too because it's the Monday night game.
That's right. The Bears are going to play the Rams on Monday night football, and then we will talk with him about that. So I said, all right, well, we need to make sure that we have some Bears content because it's Bears Monday, and the Bears are 5-1. So who can we reach out to that's going to give us the real? And Herbie was like, well, what about Mark Grody? And I was like, yes, we love talking with Mark Grody. He's an incredible teammate and a good part of our score coverage and the Bears coverage on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to search through. You can just make it easy on yourself and go to alpamonteford.com. Groats, let me start with the super serious stuff. Did you have any chance to talk with people at Halas about what's going on with the Panthers and some of their COVID testing?
Not a whole lot was discussed about that in terms of their positive tests. So that did not really come into play.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, considering that we now know that the Panthers are going to do remote stuff today and tomorrow, if the protocol is going to be for the Bears to do similar. So that's something that I want to find out. I know that you guys have been busting it trying to figure out all of these new protocols that the NFL seems to keep adding to the mix.
It's a great question, but it actually just did not come up at all today during Matt Nagy's Zoom conference call. And hopefully, and I guess that's probably a good sign that they didn't offer anything towards that. So hopefully,
yeah, I mean,
the news
was breaking. I think the news broke after he was done talking. So that's okay. Probably why. I would guess that when you talk with him again, what, Wednesday? Or is he going to talk tomorrow? I can't.
Yeah, they're off tomorrow. So yeah, it would be Wednesday. You know, for the most part, the Bears, I mean, really for all of it, they have played things extremely well. And when there has been even the least bit of a hint of something, you know, with the Juan Castillo situation, we don't want to see your face basically through Sunday. When there was a practice squad player that tested positive, they said, you know what, practice squad, don't even bother showing up. Why don't you just go ahead and stay home? So they, you know, for whatever it's worth, the Bears have been excellent with their protocols, and I would imagine that will continue. And I suppose that since the players do have the day off tomorrow, that this is, you know, I put it in air quotes, perfect timing that something like this would pop up.
All right, so let's get to the football aspect of it. The Bears win. That's the most important thing. They are 5-1. They are on top of the NFC North. If the playoffs started today, they're in it. And they have an opportunity for that number one seed, which is the only seed that gets a bye this year in the NFL with them expanding the playoffs. What do they think? How good do they think they are?
That's such a good question, because I think they were saying it all last week anyway, that they kind of know. I mean, Matt Nagy said it at the podium in his Zoom right after they won last week. Basically saying this ain't good enough. He issued the challenge. He did what he did. He was fired up. You know, we saw a little bit of the Matt Nagy temper. They know. I thought it was really interesting what's happened over the last 24 hours, though, on how they've accepted who they are. And there was something that Matt Nagy said that sounds kind of like a blow off, but kind of, and maybe kind of coachy to people. But I'm reading into it a little bit, and Matt Nagy said, I believe there's something special here with these players. And here's the key part. He goes on to say, even though it's not the fantasy world that everyone wants it to be on offense, it's not that. He said, what it is winning. Close quote from Matt Nagy. Now, the reason I think that's important is because that's not something you would have ever heard Matt Nagy say, especially when he arrived here, because it was Matt Nagy that kind of set the precedent for this to be a fantasy-like offense with some of the things and concepts that he had, some of the things he even did in 2018 with the trickeration that we really haven't seen since 2018, the downfield passing that he wanted this offense to be the Kansas City offense. He wanted it to be fantasy. So it's really interesting that in the last 24 hours, they have pushed back a little bit, and we saw it with Nick Foles too, on the narrative of, well, you're 5-1, but you still kind of stink. They accepted that last week. This week they're not accepting that. They're not down with that. And they are saying we are who we are. The other thing they're doing now, Lawrence, too, and this is a really good thing because, you know, Matt Nagy is the head coach. He is not just the offensive coordinator. He went out of his way yesterday, and then he went out of his way today during the Zoom call to credit the defense. To say, oh my God, look what they're doing in the red zone. Look what they're doing for us. I know the offense needs to be tightened up, but how about a little bit of a standing O for the defense for what they've done? And it seems like Matt Nagy has not done a whole lot of that, just because, I mean, we pin him down with questions every week about the offense, so we are complicit in that. But, you know, there's two things going on now. Matt Nagy accepting that this is a defensive team and to some degree accepting who they are on offense. They want it to be better because I could hear Bears fans raging right now saying, no, that can't be the Bears offense. They want it to be better, but there is some acceptance from Matt Nagy about who this team is for the first time and that they're a defensive team.
Then let's spend some time talking about this defense then. We're talking with Mark Rohde, who covers the Bears for us here at The Score, and on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. I love the way that Kyle Fuller plays the game. I don't want him to change a thing about the way that he engages at the cornerback position. What have the Bears said about the fact that he keeps getting these flags that sometimes get picked up, which is good, for him doing what you want a defensive player to do, which is dislodge the ball carrier from the ball legally?
I think Kyle Fuller is about as fundamentally sound of a football player as I've seen on the Bears in the last 10 years. I mean, just watching his technique, the way he goes about his business, the open field tackle that he made yesterday against Teddy Bridgewater, that might be the difference in the game. That might have been the play of the game. And there were so many things that happened, that crazy sequence in the third quarter with turnover, almost pick six. But that open field tackle was just absolutely gorgeous from a football perspective. As far as him, you know, getting burned yesterday on the roughing, saying that he went helmet to helmet, you know, Matt Nagy was talking about that. He said that he actually sat right near or behind or in front of Kyle Fuller on the charter flight home, which apparently was rocking and rolling. I guess they had their own little form of a socially distanced club dub on the plane ride home last night from Carolina. But he said that he was able to joke around with Kyle Fuller about it. And I guess Matt Nagy's words today, I don't want to completely miss it, but he said that, you know, there's literally nothing he could have done. Like on that particular play on which he was called for helmet to helmet, when it looked a whole lot more like shoulder to shoulder, he said there's nothing he could do about it. So the message, I guess, to Kyle Fuller is keep doing what you're doing. We got your back. We know you're not doing anything untoward. We know you're not being careless. We know you're not being undisciplined. So I think that's a good message to him, to just keep doing what you're doing, because he's back to playing. He's like 2018 Kyle Fuller this year. He's back to not just Pro Bowl, but all pro style of play.
I thought that a guy that we have been giving a rough ride to for the first 4 weeks of the season, Danny Trevathan, played really well yesterday. The Bears linebackers looked back to being fast and impactful in yesterday's game.
Absolutely. And those are two guys that I circled for that game, and it had a lot to do with the success that Mike Davis has had this year, that those guys are going to have to be alert for Mike Davis, not only in the running game, but in the passing game. And Trevathan has gotten just a little bit better. He's still not like prime Danny Trevathan, but every week it's gotten a little bit better from those first couple of games where he just looked like three or four steps slow. So he looked terrific. Roquan Smith had 12, 13, I don't know what the official number is today, but it had been 12 tackles for Roquan Smith, and he just flies into your screen, played really well. So, yeah, I mean, the defense, again, making plays yesterday. That first defensive sequence for the Bears yesterday, I mean, that was the elite stuff yesterday, where right away they started off with the one-yard loss for Mike Davis. Then eventually the Tashaun Gibson interception, which leads directly to the Nick Foles 9-yard touchdown pass to Cole Kmet. That was some of the elite stuff. And then you know what? I know I talked to, I think it was you that I talked to about this, and I was being hard on the defense and saying, look, they got to stop the run. I got nothing to be hard on the defense for this game, because the offense just late in the game put them in zero positions to succeed. There was three straight sequences where the Bears offense, where they're up 20 to 13, that the one where they convert the third and three, the 22-yard play to Allen Robinson. They get to the Carolina 13, and then they did nothing after that, nothing. And then they ended up kicking a field goal. That's fine, but you got to get six on that play. Then with 5:24 left, they failed to convert on the third and three. They run 2:22 off the clock. Then with 1:40 left, they fail with a third and two. The defense keeps having to come on the field. So I got nothing bad to say about the defense this week. Whatever bend and break occurred this week, I was totally cool with. They had to have been exhausted out there, and they were making plays.
What I love about it is you got all the components of a defensive suffocation. You got them taking the ball away. You got them getting after the quarterback, and you got them to make a guy that's been maybe the most efficient quarterback in the NFL make some terrible mistakes because you were getting pressure around him in the pocket.
Absolutely, which was in itself an accomplishment. I give a lot of credit to Chuck Pagano in that case, because, you know, Teddy Bridgewater hadn't been sacked in the previous two games, and they are not only bringing him down to the ground in this game, but as you said, getting pressure on him and rattling him. Teddy Bridgewater's one of his greatest strengths is that he's a smart, brainy quarterback out there. You know, he's not the most elusive in the world, but he is your classic smart, gonna be in the NFL forever, assuming he stays healthy, because of that aspect. You know what I mean? Like, think Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's gonna be that guy, but better, because he's got the smarts to do it. And the Bears were able to rattle him and make him come, you know, disjointed at times, which is a tough trick to do to Teddy Bridgewater. And so far this year, in general, to have done to Carolina. And I thought it was important too that, you know, another sack for Khalil Mack, that he comes back after last week's game and is now starting to stack good games together for the Bears. You know, I know that Carolina did, that their game plan was clear. We're going to try to force it, you know, Jalen Johnson's direction, and it's going to be a lot of DJ Moore. Good luck to you. And it was quite a learning experience for Jalen Johnson, who I think comported himself pretty well. There were times when he got burned for sure, but in general, this is like one of those things that he will have. Sometimes we say that like a guy's going to benefit from some struggles, but I think in this case, it's true with Jalen Johnson that he will have benefited from everything that Carolina threw at him this week.
Well, what did the folks up there have to say about that? Because I agree with you. I think that he has gotten progressively better from week to week, and I think that's an opportunity in there for him to learn something, because the guy that's playing on the other side of you is playing at an all-pro level. You don't want to go after him necessarily. You're going to get some of that. You're going to get the remnants of Kyle Fuller being a more feared defender. And I think overall, Jalen Johnson's done a nice job with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that he, you know, early in the season, we didn't see teams testing him like they are now. So it looked like he was like absolutely stellar early. I think he's just as good now. He's just getting a ton more, you know, put it in air quotes, opportunities at this point because, as you said, they are going at him and it's not going to stop either. I mean, you know, Monday Night Football this week will be against the Rams a week from tonight when they're, you know, they're going to get a huge dose of Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp and the rest of that crew from the LA Rams. So in general, yeah, they are happy with his play. There is no talk of him needing extra help or anything like that. I think that they've been able to compensate. And this is a kid, too. I mean, like, I had a talk with Buster Skrine, who's been around for 10 years in this league and has played with a ton of cornerbacks and played with this in several franchises. He told me he thinks he's going to be a star. And I'm like, why? How can you say that? He said he's got that thing where he can give up a big play, as we saw him do yesterday, and then on the very next play, on a slant, as we saw, have really tight coverage and make an excellent play. Like, he forgets. He doesn't hold it with him. And that's really the key to any cornerback having success in the National Football League, because that's hard, man. Like, you give up a play, and sometimes that'll turn into another big play and another and another and another. In Jalen Johnson's case, he truly seems to forget that the bad play occurred, and that's going to help him big time going forward.
Mark Grody covers the Bears for us here at The Score and works on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. I want you to keep your eyes on something for me, okay? And if you can, ask around about this. We saw yesterday Cordero Patterson get the Hester treatment on kickoffs.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're going to keep seeing that.
Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, that makes total and complete sense. He is one of the Bears' playmakers on special teams and in the game in general. And I hadn't thought about that deeply, Lawrence. But, yeah, they were bombing it out of the end zone because Cordarrelle Patterson will take it when he's in the end zone. But
he doesn't care how deep he is in the end zone.
He doesn't care. Right. But if it goes over his head into almost the first row of the stands, Cordarrelle Patterson cannot freight train the ball out of the end zone in that case. So it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. And these, I got to tell you, man, I mean, it's funny. Like, we were talking about, or actually we weren't talking about DeAndre Houston Carson, but he made that big play at the end of the game. And I talked to DeAndre about Cordarrelle, and he said, he just smiled and said that they love blocking for him. I think Kyrel Santos called him ruthless. He's one of those guys who's a great adjective guy, you know? Like, he's ruthless, you know? I mean, because he is just ferocious. Like, who wants that coming at, like, he's one of the fastest guys on the Bears, also one of the most muscular big guys on the Bears. Who wants that coming at you? If you're a defender on special teams, you're like, no thanks. No thank you. Because he will run right at you, run you over, or go around you. So, yeah, that is something to watch for. And I will ask. We'll talk to Chris Tabor, the special teams coach, a little bit later on this week, and I'll report to you, Lawrence.
Groats, I appreciate you jumping on and sitting in the place of one Anthony Heron. I know you guys like to have fun when you team up to do stuff. So thank you so much for all the latest on what's going on with the Bears.
It was my pleasure and my honor to fill in for Anthony Heron. I don't feel like I am neither as smooth nor as handsome as Anthony Heron, but I'm close. I'm close.
How dare you, so, sir?
You twitch the samples. So I didn't make it on Twitch today. Did anybody send me the link? I didn't get on Twitch today.
Get but, off well, my plane.
Well, you find we'll, this we'll, man.
We'll find it the next time, and then we'll put a quarter in you and ask you to do Harrison Ford stuff.
Could you just do me a real quick favor, Lawrence? And unlock me! Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Groats.
Bye.
That is Mark Grody. He's a crazy person, and I mean that in the best way possible. We need to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a couple things that I had a problem with the broadcast of yesterday's game, and I'll update you on what's going on with the Panthers in their situation that now that they have an unconfirmed COVID test and how that might impact the Bears going forward. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
First and 10 from the Bears 34. Bridgewater going deep, looking for DJ Moore. Unable to make the catch, and a flag is thrown with Jalen Johnson defending.
Pass interference, defense.
DJ Moore's right arm.
Oh, come on.
What
come on,
think?
Kenny. I'm watching. Here's the first and most important part. The defender has every right to the football as a wide receiver. They both have the same right to the football. So you're telling me that if he's going to be locked up, this is PI, he's looking back, he jumps when he jumps, he's playing the football. Come on.
That highlight is courtesy of Fox Sports. Jonathan Vilma on the call with Kenny Albert. I've enjoyed those two together, and I think that Jonathan Vilma has gotten better each week. I disagree with him about the right to the football because it wasn't like Jalen. Like, to me, that was a good play and a letter of the law call. And I know it's weird for both things to exist in the same space, but that's how I feel about it. He totally armbarred the receiver, and it's a good play if you get away with it. But the official was looking at it, and he armbarred him for like 20 yards, and you're not going to get away with that. The call on Fuller, that was just bad. But I wanted to talk about the broadcast for a couple of minutes here. And thanks for listening. We appreciate it. For those of you who are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, we appreciate you. I know I keep moving the camera, and I apologize, but I'm getting used to my new setup and, like, how much is too much. Like, I feel like the camera's a little too close sometimes. So I'm doing that, and I'm also changing the way that I'm sitting. But you can watch. A texter was like, when I brought up that people are giving Patterson the Hester treatment, said, well, aren't all kickers kicking it out of the back of the end zone? No, they're not. And in fact, last week, they were supposed to, but they didn't. Not every kicker is equipped to do it, and not every team does it. Some teams like to, if you don't have a dynamic returner, they'll kick the ball to like the one, and then they'll have you behind where you would get it if you just took the touchback at the 25. You end up at the 22 or whatever, and you're winning a 3-yard net in that case. Yesterday, the Bears didn't have any kickoff returns. The Panthers had 3 for 72 yards. Teams are not going to give Cordarrelle Patterson an opportunity to beat him if they can. That's the point. And they started last week. There was talk about it last week when the Bears played, and they didn't execute as well as they wanted to. And now you saw a team that had the capability of actually bombing it through the end zone. Here's my issue with the broadcast yesterday. I didn't think Fox was on top of their game yesterday. The reason why is they need to be able to show us things that we can't see. Or you need the broadcasters to then tell us the things that we can't see. Why things happen, why a penalty was called. There were times yesterday where they like took a break and you're like, wait a minute, that was a significant play. We'd like to see a replay of it. As I was discussing with Dan during transition today, it was a real awakening for me to start covering a team. And that point of view that I got from watching games at stadiums. And obviously the idea on going to cover a game is more about the access, but the byproduct is you also get a better view. In press boxes across the NFL and MLB and college football, you get the all 22 view because you're up top. It's limited in some places. It's better in some than others. Like Soldier Field is terrible for this because of how the press box is kind of set up on an angle. And from where I would sit, it was bad. I think I was on like the 10-yard line of the north end zone. Wasn't always the best vantage point, but it was better than watching the game on TV. And then we have the TVs above us that are running on a delay, and so you can watch a play happen live, then look up a few seconds later and see what the viewer saw. And in a lot of cases, I would see things pre-snap or post-snap that I could add to a report that I was going to give for Dan and Terry or whomever I was going on with, Doug and OB, when I go on. Because there'd be sometimes I'd see, okay, well, you want to know why this play happened? Why it took so long for the safety to get from to the right hash, let's say, for example. Well, pre-snap, that safety moved out, and they were moving towards the left hash when the play was snapped. They didn't have enough time to recover and get back. Those are the types of things that I want from a broadcast. With people who are in the building, I want them to be able to tell me all those things that I can't see. Football, and every sport does this. I mean, I'm not saying it's the fault of broadcast themselves, but every team, every league does this. It follows the action of the ball. And if you only follow the action of the ball, you can miss stuff. It's why replays are so important. But when it comes to big plays that go on, when it comes to figuring out why something happened the way that it did, I'm used to a higher level of proficiency from Fox. They're usually really good. And I know that in the other broad, and I'm not trying to like get on anybody in particular. I'm just saying that I watched the second game that they had on their doubleheader. And in the second game, it was much better. And I'm not putting this on Albert or Vilma. I actually have really started to like what Vilma does. And Kenny Albert's a professional guy. Like, he knows what he's doing. But I don't think that they were given enough video from behind the ball of what happened afterwards to do their job as effectively as they would have liked to have done their job. And I just thought that it was Fox is really good at doing football broadcast. And I didn't think that they did a great broadcast overall yesterday, that it could have been a lot better. So it was disappointing because there were things that you wanted to see more clearly. You wanted to understand. I don't think that they used Pereira. And my thing with Mike Pereira, I actually really like him, but he does tend to agree with whatever the official's call is. I mean, I guess someone is probably charting it, and I'm probably speaking a little bit out of school. From my experience of watching him, it seems like he's really just kind of rubber stamping what the officials do on the field instead of offering. And even with that, that's fine. Offer me some context with it.
Kenny, it's one of those weird ones because, first of all, you have a hit against a defenseless player. That is what's called, and it's shoulder to the head. And if you take a look at all the shots, I actually like the call. He gets protection here, head and neck area, and there is the shoulder, and to the head. But I do like the call. Then is it interception? Is it incomplete? Did it hit the ground? A lot of things for them to look at. They ruled incomplete, therefore went half the distance to the goal in a first down.
Yeah, and there's stuff that's going on. There's another play that's getting ready to get started. I don't think that they moved around as effectively as they usually do.
Yeah, and I with the Pereira thing, you would think that, yeah, he had friends and he used to be head of officials, all that good stuff, but you're divorced from him and your paychecks are coming from Fox. So you should be giving that analysis that is 100% divorced from what you used to do and sparing feelings instead of educating the audience and saying, hey, this is what I saw as an expert, and I'm giving you my expert opinion, and I don't care if I work for these guys, and if I'm stepping on toes, too bad, guys. I got to tell what I see. That's why you're on the field. That's why you're on the broadcast.
It's supposed to be the reason that you're on the broadcast. This is like a one bad game out of thousands that Fox knocks it out of the park on. It just seemed a little behind. And there are these pivotal plays that both Bears fans and Panthers fans are like, wait, what? I need someone to explain to me what happened. That's the goal. That's the whole reason. It's not supposed to be like just a slap and tickle show. It's supposed to be an explanation of what's happening. For those of you telling me to listen to the simulcast, yes, I'm well aware that my sister station does a simulcast of it. In some cases, it is difficult to get either an AM or FM signal in certain parts of the Chicago listening area. Specifically, those who live between the South Loop and the North Side. That's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about where can I find a better broadcast. I'm saying that the broadcast that I've had yesterday wasn't up to the standard of what I'm used to from a Fox broadcast. But I appreciate you.
But isn't that the Bears' fault for not being good? I mean, they're 5-1, but Fox seeing in the eyes of the viewer and saying, let's send Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma out again, this crew that just got together, skeleton crew, and send them out to broadcast to a big audience in Chicago for like the third or fourth time.
What are they, team four? Are they the fourth team?
I'm not sure. Four would be generous. I mean, they're good, but this is the first year working together.
They're gelling. They're gelling. And you got Joe Buck down in Tampa with the one team.
Charles left the two team.
Right, and he's the number one team, number two team for CBS now.
And he did the game when the Bears played earlier versus the Colts, I believe that was.
Yeah, and to me, the issue is not Vilma. It's not him or Albert. It was the actual production of the game yesterday. And maybe they're trying to take it easy because you do have a young broadcaster in there that's trying to figure a lot of this stuff out. And I think week by week, he's gotten better. I think that he adds something to it. I wish he'd tell some more of those stories about being a Saint, though, because those are some interesting stories from what I've heard from a couple guys who used to be in the locker room with Jonathan Vilma.
And I know it's not necessarily apples to apples, but think about how developed and how great Benetti and Stone sounded this year. You know, initially, you know, they had the nice back and forth, but this year it seemed like everything came together. The team's good and it gelled. The broadcast was entertaining. It was great. Just take some time for guys to get used to each other, understand where they're going to, you know, Jason Benetti letting Steve do his thing, be Steve Stone, and expand on a story a little bit. That will come with time with Kenny Albert and with Jonathan Vilma. I mean, the broadcast is fine, but I think also eventually they'll ask for certain things for that broadcast that other broadcasts have too, and they'll move themselves up or they'll get dismissed. One of the two.
I think they're fine. I think they're fine. I just think that they weren't given as much of an opportunity to succeed by their crew as I would have liked as a viewer yesterday. We'll take a break. I have some parting shots on the offense that I would like to discuss. Who's working with Danny today? Is he on his own? He's on his own.
Initially, it is going to be Danny Parkins by himself, but from 4 to 6, we get a great treat. Own Kreutz.
Oh, great. I actually do feel like Michael McDonald now that I have this microphone stand that I'm using. Minute by minute by minute. I'll be back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
So last week we had a little bit of fun where people were asking me about the top 5 places that I've been to, like covering sports. And I thought that it went really well. So we're going to keep that going. We're going to call it Top 5 Tuesdays. So if there's something that you want to have my top 5 list on, it doesn't have to be sports related, but it can be. We're going to do that on Tuesdays from now on. We'll just come up with a list, and I'm taking suggestions. So if you follow me on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes, you can let me know on there what you think tomorrow's top five list should be. There's already been a couple of really good suggestions. My top five, like, Star Trek episodes, top five, like, ice cream flavors. Like, we're going to have some fun with it. This is going to be a segment that we put in to have a little bit of fun with. So if you want to know, like, the top five football places that I've been to or the top five interviews I've done, I'm totally open to stuff like that. But if you just want, like, hey, what are your top five donut places? We will do that on this show, because this is the time of year where you can have a little bit more fun. There's a little bit more space. We're not worrying about the two baseball teams. Although, while I was gone, there was some shenanigans afoot with the Southside Nine that at some point we are going to talk about. I think we'll probably talk about it more when there's an actual resolution. But I was paying attention to what was happening out here in these streets. And I didn't like what I was hearing, I can tell you that for damn sure. I'm going to talk with Danny Parkins coming up next here on The Score.